Why don't we talk about your 66-year-old lady?
This is a woman, a lovely woman, who I just saw yesterday, in fact, with presenting stage 2, clinical stage 2, again, hormone receptor negative, HER2-positive breast cancer, who enrolled on TBCRC026 and had trastuzumab, pertuzumab alone for 12 weeks, went to surgery and had a pathologic complete response. She is an older woman with some comorbidities, and you know, this actually has helped us in being able to better tailor her therapy. So I think she's almost the opposite of the previous patient that we highlighted, where the chemotherapy seemed to be key to her responsiveness, and you could argue the extent to which the HER2 targeting added. In this case, this patient had, you know, some of the biologists might call it oncogene-addicted tumor, where HP alone really had obliterated the cancer, the invasive cancer in the breast and the axillary lymph nodes.
And just to be clear, she had biopsy-proven axillary involvement?
She did.
And I'm just kind of curious, because it kind of also reflects on something I know you've had a great interest in and spoken a lot about, which is the issue of neoadjuvant therapy in general, but also how it affects treatment of the axilla. So she had, I'm going to guess she had a post-neoadjuvant sentinel node biopsy that was negative?
Yep.
And that was it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did she get any further treatment or surgery on her axilla?
No.
And can you talk a little bit from a global point of view of the issue of the axilla in people getting neoadjuvant therapy, and specifically the question of the possibility of decreasing the amount of local surgery that patients have? Obviously, if you convert a patient to being breast conserving, that's an issue. But what about other issues? Even if you're going to have a mastectomy, is it easier if you've had a good response? And particularly the issue of the axilla and the issue of avoiding, and this is a patient who had biopsy-proven axillary node involvement who did not get any more surgery of her axilla. What we know about that, and is that the way we typically approach these patients?
You know, for HER2-positive and triple-negative disease, where it's clear that you have a neoadjuvant regimen that's been defined, I think, you know, the neoadjuvant approach is a terrific one. If you know that you're going to be giving systemic therapy and you have a pretty good idea of what the optimal one would be, or at least the first part of it, I think neoadjuvant is increasingly appropriate. The caveat here is it's not uncommon that I see patients who have been treated with a lot of therapy for HER2-positive disease where it might have been a stage 1. And so it's not always the case. I mean, you have a little bit of some, you still have to bring some mental firepower to this in the multidisciplinary sense, because while you may reduce, you know, the surgical extent, remember that nowadays with a stage 1 HER2-positive breast cancer, I only give one chemotherapy drug and one anti-HER2 drug. I give the APT regimen or paclitaxel trastuzumab. So, you know, I can save the polychemotherapy and the toxicity, and I don't use pertuzumab. And so you're really, I don't think a stage 1 patient is appropriate for that kind of approach. But for everyone else, for both HER2-positive and triple-negative, I think it is actually a terrific opportunity. You know, I think, you know, we've long known that you can improve the breast conservation rates modestly. I think one of the things we learned from the surgical studies that ran alongside of the CALGB neoadjuvant trials, they looked at surgical assessments, you know, in a prospective way, and they found that within those trials, about half of the patients who were thought to be not breast conservation candidates by virtue of having too large of a tumor became breast conservation candidates. And if they cytoreduced to that extent and the surgeon tried to save the breast, most of the time they were successful. So it really is a reasonable strategy for the breast, and emergingly a reasonable strategy also to minimize the need for axillary dissection because of cytoreduction within the nodal basins. If you don't think you're going to have a high likelihood of either having nodal involvement, then I don't think it's as useful. And I don't think it's as useful in tumors where the likelihood of achieving PCR either in the breast or the nodes is high. So hormone receptor positive, HER2 negative breast cancer, I think it's a little less clear that you're going to make as big a difference in the surgical management. But for HER2 positive and triple negative, I think it's quite appropriate for stages, I would say 2 and above.